Oh, such a good question.
Well, when you come with these questions, that's another great branding question.
That's a big question.
That's a very interesting question because it really makes you think about what you just did.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand.Live show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome back to another episode of the Your Living Brand.Live show. This is Ben Baker coming to you. Everybody, thank you guys for being such an amazing audience. Thanks for week after week listening in on Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, wherever you guys like to listen to, I'm there. And you know, and if you find a channel that I'm not on, let me know and we'll get it up on there as well. But you know, subscribe wherever your favorite channel is. Send me an email at ben@yourbrandmarketing.com. If you have anything that you want to talk about, anything you liked, anything you didn't like, anything that you had questions on, I love responding to emails and I love connecting with people on LinkedIn. You know, you can find me at yourbrandmarketing.com for LinkedIn. Let's connect and let's find out more about you because that's what this show is all about. It's a community. So let's be a community together. And with that, I want to bring on Peter Thurin. Now, Peter is an international speaker. He's from down under. He's incredible. He's got a great story to tell and he's got an amazing attitude. So Peter, welcome to the show.
Ben, what a joy to be here, my friend. I'm like a kid in a toy shop. Now, this is amazing. So thank you for having me.
Well, it's good. I'm good that I left out the toys, you know, to play with. That's important that we all have toys, that we all feel welcome, and we all get things that we get to play with during the day. So, you know, welcome to my toy shop.
Good on you, mate. You can't see what I'm playing with here anyway. So that's, no, thank you again. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, my pleasure. So, Peter, you and I connected like I do with a lot of my guests on LinkedIn. We were introduced through mutual friends, and you know, you'll have to remind me who we were actually introduced through. But we had this amazing offline conversation, and all of a sudden, I get a phone call from you. You know, you actually, from Australia, you picked up the cell phone, you jumped on WhatsApp or whatever you did, and you actually phoned me on my cell. And it was great to actually have a live conversation and get to meet the person behind the LinkedIn profile. So I love the fact that you actually reached out. You know, that's what made me want to have you on the show because it's a real person. It's a human being.
Yeah,
it's someone with some real passion behind them.
Well, mate, as you've already learned, I'd rather talk than write. Writing, I find it amusing because my standard joke at home is I get paid to talk. Most of my friends would pay me to shut up. And the cool thing about this is that I can hear your energy and your enthusiasm for what you do. You know, once we start writing, it's very two-dimensional and I don't get that same sense. But I loved just some of the words you were using and what was important to you. So it was, what mattered to me was that our values were in sync. And for me to jump on the phone is so easy to do and it's so easy not to do. And most people just don't do it. And I know that one of the keys always is to differentiate yourself from everybody else. And for me, it's just the way I roll because I love to hear what matters most to you. And I can hear that in your voice much more powerfully than I can in written communication.
That's true. I mean, because when we're just using written communication, and I write a lot. I mean, I've written a book. I write articles all the time. I write for blog posts, etc. But you're right. When you only write, you miss a lot of what's in communication. You absolutely do. Because all you have the ability to do is to put the thought out there and people have to take whatever you've put down as the gospel truth. They don't hear the intonation of your voice. They don't get to see the body language. They don't get to go back and forth. It's not live. It's not real time. And you miss a lot of the nuances that you get when it's a live communication. And that's why I absolutely love, like you, love being on stage, love doing workshops, love doing this podcast because it allows me to engage with people and have those conversations that make it real life. And tell me a little bit about it because you intimated about it. It's easy to do, easy not to do. Your choice. That's your tagline. So why don't we get into, tell me about Peter Thurin. Where did you come from and where are you today? What makes you different?
Well, let's go back to where it all really started as a young kid. I'm actually, believe it or not, I am a pharmacist by profession, and I owned and operated retail pharmacies in Melbourne, Australia for 20 years. It was a very different life. So I come from a healthcare slash caring, genuinely caring background. People matter. And what we did, you know, we grew awesome businesses by focusing on our people first and foremost. And an amazing thing happened. The more I took care of my people, the more they took care of our customers. And the side effect, pharmacy speak, of all of that was we grew an awesome bottom line. So I wasn't smart enough to complicate things. I just kind of got that if you took care of people, it's amazing what you could do together. And say a little bit tongue in cheek, my greatest skill set was unlocking the door in the morning and watching my young team of people bring my businesses to life. And I was captain of the cheer squad, high-fiving and chest bumping. Have to be careful with chest bumps today, otherwise we'll have massive sexual harassment charges. That's
right. It's a different world, isn't it?
It is a different world. But back then, you know, you could really cheer for people respectfully and a whole lot of fun. And really, we grew outstanding businesses. And I had small boutique pharmacies, and we took on the big chains here in Australia, and we knocked them off because while they were hiding behind the brand and the marketing, we were genuinely taking care of people. And that was really where it all started for me. So it really, coming from a business background, I think gives me massive credibility, you know, speaking all around the world today. And the other little thing, I suppose, well, two little things that changed my business life, my professional life, were one, coaching junior Australian rules football. So I love kids and I love sport. So I was coaching 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids. I started coaching my older son's junior football team. And the other thing that my older son and I started together was martial arts. I had a dream as an 8-year-old kid to have a black belt in martial arts, but I didn't get started till I was 36 years of age. So those two things, owning retail pharmacies and a black belt in martial arts, was really, funnily enough, where my speaking career all started. And I know we'll talk more about that, but that was the foundation that gave me maybe the confidence. And interestingly enough, coaching junior footy, if you think about the messaging to little kids, you're talking about being the best that you can be, which is actually the name of my book, Be the Best You Can Be. You're talking about setting goals, short, mid, big picture goals. You're talking about having fun. You're talking about camaraderie and excellence and teamwork and leadership. Really not that different to the corporate world, is it, Ben?
No, it really isn't. And anybody who's been a coach or a mentor in any way, shape, or form gets that.
Yeah.
It's getting the best out of people. And I want to go back three steps before we get into that, because I think the whole thing with the footy is really important. But the fact that you said something that was really interesting, that you took care of your people and let them take care of your customers. And there's so many businesses that are so hyper-focused on the customer that they forget about the internal customer, the employees.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I am with you 100% that if you take care of your people, if you empower them, if you train them, if you give them the skill set to succeed, they will take care of you and they will take care of your customers and they will be the best advocates for your brand. So I absolutely love that.
Yeah, can I tell you what was really amazing was I was speaking at an event in Australia and there were about 1,500 people there. So the MC got very excited when I finished speaking and he turned to me and he said, Pete, would you mind if we threw this open to Q&A? Well, Ben, I love Q&A because you can't contrive that. People ask you, you know, what matters most to them.
Absolutely.
First gentleman in the middle of the auditorium, handheld microphone, he stands up and he says, Pete, thank you so much. And he asked me a question that I had never, ever been asked before. He said, can I ask you, what are you proudest of in all the years that you owned pharmacies? Now, Ben, when somebody asks you a question like that, you can't give some flippant answer. You know, you've got 1,500 people in front of you, and I've never been asked that before. What just blurted out of my mouth that day? And as I sit here talking to you right now, and I am fiercely proud of it, what came out of my mouth that day was the length of time that people stayed with me. Because that is not about me. That is about what we created together. My focus was on creating environments that brought the best out in my people. And amazing things happened. Again, to your point, you know, the more we took care of our people, the more they took care of our customers. And And really, I mean this, we used to have meetings every single week, and it wasn't about flow charts and pie charts and graphs and budgets and bottom line. It was, when do you perform at your best? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, when are you at your best? And isn't then beholden upon us to work to create the environment that gives you the opportunity to perform at your best? And these were the discussions we used to have ongoing. And, well, I found that optimized our success chances right across the board. Amazing, really.
Well, it's true, because that's leadership. In one word, what you're defining as leadership, because if we listen to our people, if we understand them and we value them,
yeah,
they will be amazing advocates for us. And you're right, and they'll stay. People want to stay with companies. They want to stay with companies where they believe in the mission and vision and value statement, that they believe in the organization, they believe that what they do matters. They'll stay with the company.
But Ben, it does.
It does.
It's not that they believe in what they do. What they do does matter. You and I travel the world. I mean, I'm incredibly privileged today because I travel the world speaking, and there is so much rhetoric inside conference rooms.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of BS that people talk about, and then they walk out. It's like talking about health and well-being on stage, and then you catch the person smoking cigarettes at the back of the building. You know, there's a sort of, they talk about caring about their people, but you watch the way that they treat their people. They don't even give them eye contact. You know, it's, there's got to be a genuineness in this. Otherwise, it all falls apart, as you and I know. I always giggle people that talk about how much I love my children, and but they're never home for story time. They'd rather be in the pub having three extra beers with their mates than going home for story time. So it's what you do, not what you say, as you and I are both abundantly aware.
Oh, absolutely. And it's amazing to me how many people say that when I'm doing workshops, they say, well, I need you to train my people how to be better leaders. Well, I need to train you how to be a better leader before I can train your people.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of it is that they say, well, you know, just because my people have to do this and I have to teach them how to do this and this, that, their thing, but the same rules don't apply to me as an owner of a company.
Yeah,
of course they do.
Yeah, of course.
If they don't apply to you, nothing matters.
Nice. Spot on. Four words. Look at me first. Now, I'm probably a fairly good starting point. So that's really where it all started for me. And 20 years of owning and operating pharmacies, and you know, now I've got a black belt in martial arts. And I say it as a bit of a joke. I woke up one morning and decided, you know, I'm done. I've sold my quota of jelly beans and razor blades, and I needed to find life outside the four walls of a retail pharmacy. And coaching junior football at that time, so I sold my pharmacies, and I was coaching junior football with really not a strong idea of what the next part of my journey was going to look like. I was really, like, blew me away was that every Sunday I had more and more mums and dads and grandmas and grandpas coming to the football to listen to me talk to their kids. And I thought, whoa, there's something going on here. And that was really the starting point of my speaking life. I took up a bet really one day and went in and I spoke on stage, and feedback was quite extraordinary. It really got me a little bit off guard, and it started to just evolve. You know, one led to two, led to three, and then word of mouth started to, you know, become a really invaluable part of my growth as a speaker. And now I'm speaking to you. So this is the pinnacle. I got Ben on the, how good is this?
Well, I wish, if I was the pinnacle of your career, we both are going downhill from here, because this is an amazing conversation, but I look at this as a starting point. I look at your career and I see you taking off like a rocket. So
no, this is just so wonderful. The fact that, you know, again, we're going to talk about easy to do, easy not to do, but you, the way you just, once I phoned you and that you put the hand of friendship out and collaboration and said, well, let's sit down and talk and see what we can do together. Most people wouldn't have done that. Easy to do, easy not to do. Most people in this world choose easy not to do. And I love the fact that you took hold of this opportunity and said, well, Pete, let's sit down and talk and maybe share our message. And maybe our community can derive some value, some benefit out of listening to you and me. But then can I just say too that this is a very Peter Turin. You know, I get in the people's face. And again, you and I have spoken about this. It's not what you know. It's what you do with what you know. So listening to you and me speak, don't leave great stuff behind. You know, don't leave great stuff behind in a conference room. Don't leave great stuff behind. I've listened to that podcast. Yeah, but what did you do with that? And they're the choices that we make. And doing nothing is a choice too, by the way. So
true.
Doing that one thing as a result of listening to you and me that will move you in the direction of a goal that you say is important to you. And then the people who have listened to us, this podcast, then I think it will be time well spent. But it's always, always about the doing, which is a very strong part of my philosophy, and I know yours too.
Well, I was listening to a couple of your times on stage, a couple of your videos, and what really impresses me, and it's what a lot of speakers don't do, is talk about the follow-up and the follow-up. Because you're right. We can get up on stage, and whether it's 200 people, 500 people, 1,000 people, 5,000, 10,000 people, whatever it is, you can motivate them for 45 minutes to an hour. You can get them to stand up. You can get them to clap. You can get them to put both hands in the air and shout. And they can get all excited. But 3 days later, where are they? A week later, a month later, 2 months later, where are they? Have they taken the action? Have they moved their life forward from there? And I love the fact that you not only do the motivational speaking, but you also do the coaching and the mentoring and the consulting afterwards for the next 3, 6, 9 months, a year, whatever it is, to make sure that you put people's feet to the fire, hold them accountable, and help them create long-term habits. And that, to me, is far more important than exciting somebody for that hour that you're up on stage. It's how do you change people's lives in the long term?
And I love it. I can go now. And that's amazing. I mean, what you're saying is just so aggressively agree with you. And there are two components, really. One, there's the company that has the event. You know, they need to get a commercial return on investment. You know, going to an event and going rah, rah, rah is warm and fuzzy, but it doesn't change behaviors. And as to your point, it's gone in a moment. It's fabulous while you're there. And I've been to conferences where people stand on chairs and sway from side to side and sing songs. We've all been there. And I can tell you that still the two most popular conference songs are Simply the Best by Tina Turner and We Are the Champions by Queen has come back since Bohemian Rhapsody. And of course, they walk out of the conference room and they do absolutely nothing. The whole point about the programs, my programs, is it keeps people focused post the event, builds momentum, creates accountability, and achieves outcomes. We need to be outcome driven. It's not just about, again, as we said before, not what you say you're going to do at the conference, but actually going shoulder to shoulder and working with companies, people, organizations to bring to life the promises that they made at a conference. And that's what we do. And that's what we do. And my attitude isn't now you go and do this. It's let's go and do this together. But I think that for me, it all starts. I just want to go back to the beginning a little bit here because my philosophy in life is all around easy to do, easy not to do. Honestly, I believe that everything in life, in fact, is a choice between easy to do and easy not to do. And choosing easy to do means focusing on what you can do rather than on what you can't do. And it's the first step to achieving anything in your life, but it's also the second step and the third step. And I think you get the picture. And what I've learned is that the best people, the best companies, the best organizations, the best franchises in the world learn to find it easy to do the things that others find easy not to do.
True.
And that includes asking, how do we take this forward? One of the things that you and I have spoken about previously is the power of the questions, and companies need to ask better questions. How do I maintain momentum? How can I bring this to life? What I do then is that I find out what matters most to those organizations, what is most important to them, and then break it down via the easy to do philosophy and just show them how it works. It's really not complicated.
What I'm hearing here, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that when you're working with people, and I have a similar philosophy if we are going the same way, is you need to understand what are the objectives of the company that you're working for before you get on the stage.
No question. And that's a respect issue. Because you and I know people go on stage and roll out some generic presentation. They've done no homework on the company. It's critical. So in the days when I owned pharmacies, if you were going to come in and speak to my people inside my pharmacies, at least show me some respect. At least get some sense of what matters most to me, aspirationally, what am I trying to achieve, who my competition is, what they're doing, and so on. And so that you can tailor your messages so that they are specific and relevant to where I'm at right now. It isn't what you want to roll out in that session. It's really understanding where I'm at, the customer is right now, and aspirationally, where do I aspire to be? And now, what can we do together to push in that direction? In other words, this is what I look like today. What will I look like as a result of having you on stage? It's sort of like begin with the end in mind. You know, very Stephen Covey, 7 Habits, so powerful. Still, seek first to understand and then to be understood. So to really understand from the people who I'm speaking to, what is it that they would love to walk away with from this session? What matters most to them? What are their key objectives?
Yeah. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. The YourBrandMarketing.live podcast is sponsored by How to Retain Employees Through Leadership online course. Go to courses.yourbrandmarketing.com. That's courses.yourbrandmarketing.com and put in Your Living Brand 50 for a $50 coupon. Thanks a lot. Welcome back to the YourLivingBrand.live show. I always ask, what does success look like to you?
Yeah.
What is your individual success? Because everybody's got a different definition of success. Well, your definition is different from mine and different from a lot of my listeners. But if you understand what your definition of success is, and if somebody asks you what your definition of success is, you have a far better chance of achieving it than going for some generic speaker that comes in or consultant that comes in or coach that comes in who just has a program. You know, programs are wonderful. Everybody's got, you know, somebody asked me today what my rate card was. You know, and I said, I don't have a rate card. I come in and I'll sit there and let's talk about what you really need. What's your budget? What are your objectives? And what do you need your people to understand long-term? And then we'll figure out what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
I don't get people who just come in with a cookie cutter. I'm going to go on stage. I know exactly every single movement, every single word, every single nuance I know from beginning to end. And if it meets you, great. If it doesn't meet you, great. I'm getting paid regardless. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Nah, well done, mate. I'm shoulder to shoulder with you on that. You know, for me, I work with people to get them in the game. But to get them in the game, I've got to know what game it is they want to get into. Enable them to rise to the challenge. So let's work out what their challenges are. Otherwise, and the last part really for me there is moving from routine to remarkable. And when I talk about remarkable, I talk about their success, how they define success. So what outcomes, to your point, are critical or integral to their success? So these are their definitions. My programs, in inverted commas, are really quarterly face-to-faces, and then I hold people accountable. That's what I do. It's been an amazing success for me and for companies that I've worked with. I'm about getting face-to-face. For me, there's nothing like eyeballing somebody as opposed to, as your words, a cookie cutter approach is a nonsense. To take some module off the shelf thinking that one size fits all is just outrageous. And I want you to treat me as if what I do is completely different to everybody else, you know, that I am special, that you've really drilled down to work out what matters most to me and that you can fit my needs and that together we can go shoulder to shoulder to bring my goals, my dreams, my aspirations to life. But I'm with you with this. I'm going with you. So again, but you've got to have the courage to get into the game. You've got to be able to rise to the challenge. These are actually, you know, the keynotes that I'm asked for most frequently, they're actually the titles. Get in the game, rise to the challenge, be remarkable.
Love them.
And very often it's a combination of all three.
Sure. You know, because they work so well together. I want to do a deep dive into easy to do, easy not to do, your choice, because I love this.
Thank you so much.
I absolutely love this because you're right. I mean, you intimated about it a couple times. You've referred to it a couple times, but let's get into this. Easy to do, easy not to do, because you're right. Everybody has things in their life. They have choices, and either you do it or you don't do it.
Full stop. You either do it or you don't. The thing is this. People will say to you, I want to get fit and healthy. Well, that's great and really, really important. Okay, so for those people who have played no sport since they left school, it's a challenge. So let's break it down into easy to do, easy not to do. Two sit-ups and two push-ups. Do you believe it's within the realms of your capability at a stretch to do two sit-ups and two push-ups? Yes or no?
I hope so, yes.
Now, if you're sort of throwing your head back and thinking, oh, look, I'd love to play this game with you, Pete, but why did you have to choose such a huge number, two? So let's get in the game. Okay, so let's have the courage to get in the game. So tomorrow morning, when the alarm goes off at 5:45 in the morning, we jump out of bed, hit the floor, two sit-ups and two push-ups. I'm in the game. The amazing thing about two sit-ups and two push-ups on day one is that it turns into three sit-ups and three push-ups by, you know, Tuesday of next week. And then it turns into five sit-ups and five push-ups. And it becomes more fun than that because now your family see you on the floor doing sit-ups and push-ups and they're now doing it with you. And then when you go into your work, and it starts to build momentum and we're starting to have a whole lot of fun. It's not one effort of 1,000 push-ups because, one, you couldn't do it until you'd hurt yourself. But small steps, and this is the key, obviously, small steps taken consistently over time leads to massive achievement. No different to relationship with your boy, Robbie.
True.
You can tell me how much you love him and spend all day at work. And I'm kind of not sensing that what you're saying to me is quite on the level. If you're not getting home to have mealtime with him, get to his sporting events, start with one. One turns into two, turns into three, and so on. People who say they want to be financially secure or financially free or never to have to worry about money. Yes, aspirationally, I understand that. Or maybe break it down. Start off with ringing your financial advisor. Can I sit down and talk to you about my finances? There's always a get into the game, and that's the easy to do step. I had a dream as an 8-year-old boy to achieve a black belt in martial arts. I did nothing about it until I turned 36. And then the epiphany, got to get into the game. What's easy to do? Book my first lesson. Once I had my first lesson, I just walked differently. You know, the excitement starts to build, the momentum builds, and you start to push in the direction of your big picture goal. It's a philosophy in life, and it keeps me honest. I challenged an audience on stage one day, Ben, about, I threw out a question. When was the last time that you and your partner, just you and your partner, went out on a date? No kids, no parents, no pets, no friends, just you and your partner went out on a date. And as this was coming out of my mouth, I was thinking to myself on stage, you are a fraud. When was the last time you did it? Came on stage. This was in a place in Australia called Port Douglas. It's a 4-hour flight from where I live. I wasn't flying home until tomorrow, but I came off stage that day. I rang my wife and my favorite little Italian restaurant and made a booking for the following night when I got home. And then I rang my wife, and her name is Sharon. I said, Shaz, tomorrow night, just you and I going out for dinner. And I want you to hear what I'm saying. No friends, no family, nobody, you and me. To which my wife responded, what have you done? So I realized at that point.
What did you do with my husband? Who are you and what did you do with my husband?
We giggle about that today. That was a long time ago. But the beautiful thing about easy to do, easy not to do is that it keeps me honest. It's those small steps taken consistently over time that leads to massive achievement. And working with the most successful organizations around the planet, the most extraordinary thing started to happen. So I've been talking about easy to do, easy not to do for many, many, many years. But I've just repositioned and rebranded over the last 6 months, 12 months, because that's what resonates so powerfully with people all around the world. Presidents of companies, CEOs of companies, and people who are junior people within organizations is where I get so much feedback on an ongoing basis. So today, my whole philosophy of life is all around easy to do, easy not to do. Does that go to some way answer?
Yeah, but my question is the easy to do I get. The easy to do I get, it's step by step. It's how to eat an elephant one step at a time. You know, one bite at a time is how you eat an elephant. Mm-hmm. You don't run a marathon your first day out.
Correct.
To do anything well takes time and effort and dedication and all that. I totally understand that. My thing is the easy not to do, because too many people out there make excuses. And I really don't think that easy not to do is about making excuses. It's more, and you'll have to explain this to me, it's do we concentrate on the stuff that's unimportant to us? Do we waste our time spending effort, time, and energy on things that don't really matter? And is that the easy not to do? Are we just not focusing on the things that we should be focusing on in the first place?
It's an awesome question, because very often there are things that we should not be doing. Okay, we should be choosing not to do that. But go back to what you said earlier about when you speak to people initially or speak to organizations, it's finding out what matters most to them. What I do is I sit down with people and drill down, like, let's talk about what matters most to you. Now, I would say that most people, health and fitness is fairly important. Physical, mental, spiritual health and fitness is fairly important to most people. Okay, let's put that down. What's next? My family. Well, let's write that down. If, be honest with me, does your family really matter? Let's write that down. Friends, let's write that down. Finances, let's write that down. Having fun, you know, lifestyle, let's write that down. Community work, let's write that down. Now, let's get a sense of, and if these are the things that matter, then if I'm working with you to hold you account, I'm going to make sure that if you tell me that your kids matter, that you will get home for story time with your kids. If you tell me that health and fitness matters, you walk into a conference room and it's the big, I'm being really harsh and overgeneralizing here, but very often it's the unhealthiest people that have got all the hash browns and the bacon and the, you know, and they play it. And yet they'll tell me that health and fitness matters. Well, clearly their actions dictate that they don't. So let's go for a walk around the park and just have a chat about this. So the starting point is to what you said earlier. It's a respect issue. Let's sit down together and give real clarity as to what matters most to you. And then it becomes beholden upon us to use the easy to do, easy not to do philosophy to bring that to life. And most people, when the alarm goes off at 5:45, I might challenge you to do 2 sit-ups and 2 push-ups. But I'm tired this morning. I don't feel like it. Bang, snooze button goes and I'm back to sleep. Or instead of going to bed at 10 o'clock at night, I'm that next bottle of wine and it's now midnight and I don't feel like getting up in the morning. And so my whole plan around choosing easy to do and a fitter, healthier version of myself is now put off for another day and another day and another day. And I'm now choosing easy not to do as opposed to choosing easy to do.
Gotcha.
And keep in mind, it is a choice. But even listening to you and me speak today, that our communities will listen to this and doing nothing is also a choice. And what I would love to see happen is one step into a game that matters to you. Now, it might be I want to speak fluent Italian. Well, I've never spoken Italian before, so I'd find that very challenging. So what's easy to do, easy not to do? 3 words a day. 1 in the morning, 1 at lunchtime, 2 words. You'll be exhausted. Take the afternoon off. Don't learn another word until you go to bed that night. Bang, there's your 3 words. 5 days a week, 15 words a week. That's 750 words a year. Wow, easy to do, easy not to do. Just a really cute, easy to do, easy not to do story. I have this beautiful human being who I'm privileged. Sometimes I'm picked up when I speak. I have a man who takes me to the airport and picks me up, and we've really become friends. He and I are the same age. One of the key differences between him and myself is that his tummy is slightly larger than my tummy. He drives for a living. And when I get in the car with him, let's call him John for the sake of the story. John turns and looks at me and then he looks down at his tummy and our conversation always begins the same way. He always says to me, how come you've got that tummy and I've got this tummy? Well, the point is he sits down, he drives all day, but he has about 6 clients a day and he's normally 15 to 20 minutes early before he picks up each client. And he chooses to sit in the car outside the house. So I said, John, let's call it 3 clients a day. If you just got out of the car and went for a 10-minute walk, that's 30 minutes exercise. 7 days a week, that's 210 minutes a week. That's 10,920 minutes of exercise in a year. That's 182 hours of exercise by choosing easy to do. But up until now, you've chosen easy not to do. And you get to choose. Because he tells me he hasn't got time to exercise. But it's just breaking it down using easy to do, easy not to do. And he would have 182 hours of exercise a year by focusing on easy to do if his health and well-being truly matters to him. It's his choice. Does that make sense?
And it truly and absolutely does, because it's not lying to yourself. You know, because the only person you're lying to is yourself. Either something is important to you or it's not. You know, either you want to do something or you don't. And if you don't want to do something, don't tell yourself that that's something that's important to you. Or if you think that that's something that's really not important to your company, why are you saying that it is?
Correct.
Then you're just not being authentic in one way, shape, or form. And I love that.
The only way that I can inspire somebody to become a better version of themselves is really first and foremost on focusing on what matters most to them. And that's, to your point, that's when they have to be honest. Let's sit down. Let's give great clarity as to what does matter most to you, whether it's an individual, whether it's an organization, small business, medium, large business, and let's focus on that. And my role from an ongoing perspective is, quarterly face-to-faces, but there's a real accountability where I will be in your face. So be careful what you say to me because I will hold you to it. So there's no wriggle room. And if it's important to you, it's important to me. And I will do everything within my power to work with you to bring that to life.
And I love that. So let's shut this thing down. We could talk for another hour, but let's bring this thing all together because you speak around the world. Your clients are around the world. The message that you give is worldwide. How do people get in touch with you? Because more and more people need to see you on stage. They need to have the experience that you can provide and be able to teach their people how to be better at what they do. So what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Thanks for the opportunity to answer that. I mean, probably the website, peterturin.com, P-E-T-E-R-T-H-U-R-I-N.com. and LinkedIn. There's a whole bunch of stuff there, Peter Turin, easy to do, easy not to do. But Ben, can I just say too, there is nothing precious about me. If I can live by this philosophy, so can you. I'm not an elite athlete, a gold medalist, somebody that's, these are ordinary people that breaking down, using the philosophy, doing extraordinary things. And what I do on stage is share my stories, you know, my successes and my failures. You know, when I forgot to really embrace easy to do, easy not to do. To your point earlier, it's about doing or not doing. You either do or you don't. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, just doesn't count. You either did or you didn't. It's, you're either in the game or you're not. Again, it's, you know, about getting in the game, rising to the challenge and being remarkable. I say on stage a lot that good intentions will never, ever get the job done. You actually have to do something. And for me, the starting point with my relationships with companies has been that initial keynote, getting on stage, and then the discussion around how do we maintain momentum? How do we keep people focused? How do we hold people to account? And how do we achieve the outcomes that you say are so important to you? But the initial, you know, it's that initial, let's get on stage. Let's experience each other. If I do nothing on stage, I promise you one thing, I will create motion and have a whole lot of fun at the same time too, my friend.
Well, I'm a big believer that ordinary people do extraordinary things, and you are one of those, you know, ordinary people doing extraordinary things, Peter. One last question that I'm going to let you go. And this is a question I ask everybody. When you get off the stage or you leave a meeting and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about when you're not in the room?
Oh, wow. That is just a brilliant, brilliant question. So how do I want to be remembered when I'm not there?
Absolutely.
If there are two words that matter most, it's about choice and doing. As you and I know, you really haven't truly decided unless you've done something about the message. So I don't get to control the event, but how I respond is my choice. Make the decision and do. I promise you, you will walk a whole lot differently once you get into the game. So from a message perspective, it's about I have the choice, but I must do. But if you ask me how I want to be remembered, like if I'm not on this planet anymore, I asked a gentleman one day, he's a consultant here in Australia that created a huge amount of work for me. He kept putting me forward. And I sat with him one day and I said, why do you keep putting me forward? And his response to me, I would have on my tombstone. So forgive me if this sounds a bit self-indulgent and arrogant. I don't mean it that way. But he looked at me and he said, because you genuinely care. I would take that any day of the week, Ben, to be remembered that that guy genuinely cared is, for me, very powerful and very cool. So it's around choice and doing the message. And if people thought this guy genuinely cared, I'll take it.
Pete, thank you for genuinely caring about my audience and just giving such great nuggets, such great information, and just sharing your wisdom with us. Thank you for being one of my guests.
Oh, mate.
I'm so privileged to have you on the show today.
Man, I hope you can feel the hug because I feel exactly the same way. I feel incredibly privileged to have this opportunity. Thank you so, so much.
This has been the Your Living Brand Live Show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?